Alright, what's up everybody? My name is Anthony and this is Michael, my co-host.
Hello.
Welcome to the War Within a Breath podcast. This is, I think it's episode 13, lucky number 13, and so, yeah, we're going to do something a little bit different today. The album we're reviewing today, we have less to say about it than we would normally say about an album, so we're going to do that first, and then we're going to address, I think we mentioned it last week, our top 25 best metal bands of all time in response to the Metal Sucks poll that was done a few weeks ago. We're going to be talking about At the Gates today. Michael, is this a band that you had been listening to previously?
I think my first exposure to this band was what you had showed me. And I had kind of mentioned it a couple weeks ago. You know, we were talking about At the Gates, Slaughter of the Soul, the album that came out in 1995. I'd never really heard of it until you showed me kind of some of the, and you mentioned, you know, like you've said, that this was kind of a foundation for what some of metalcore sits on. And I dug it. I thought it was cool. It reminded me of some bands that I like. I think a band that really comes to my mind on their older stuff, even on their newer stuff, is a band Dark Tranquillity. I think I see a lot of similarities there. This has a little bit more life to it, though. But yeah, I got into this new album because I knew it was coming based on what everyone was talking about on XM. And there was a lot of hype surrounding it because there's a lot of respect for what At the Gates have done in the past. So that is my exposure to it, and I've been listening to it pretty nonstop ever since it came out.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, we probably don't have to mention, I guess we will, how they haven't released an album since 1995, Slaughter of the Soul. I mean, that's 19 motherfucking years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time.
I mean, many people refer to this, and I've Slaughter of the Soul, and then, like, In Flames, The Jester Race, and Carcass's Heartwork as three of the original, like, mellow death albums. And in the case of At the Gates, I mean, that was, like you said, largely the formula for American metalcore, at least in my eyes. I mean, when I listen to Slaughter of the Soul, I'm just like, man, people just ripped this shit off for years, you know? And At the Gates is largely unnoticed because they were gone. And the band took a run at some live reunions in, like, I think, like 2007, 2010-ish, sometime around there. But they were adamant, you know, there's not going to be any more At the Gates ever, never, ever. It's not going to happen. But, I mean, apparently the fans' desperation and, you know, At the Gates' growing legendary status pulled them back, and they, you know, lo and behold, here we have one damn near 20 years later. I mean, as a metal fan with, like, nothing to compare this to, if I had never heard Slaughter of the Soul before, I would feel like this is a pretty great and outstanding and monumental album. But to me, you can't not compare this to Slaughter of the Soul. And in doing so, I can't help but see it as much more than, you know, a near copy. It sounds a lot better. The production's great. Sounds like modern metal. And, you know, Slaughter of the Soul, it seems faster and fresher to me. I mean, I don't know
that in 2014, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know. Like, how did you approach this?
I approached it from doing a little bit of recon on what they had done before. I went back and listened to the live album that came out in 2010, which is pretty much Slaughter of the Soul and their 1994 release, Terminal Spirit Disease. It was pretty much those albums on a live stage. And just seeing how tight they played them, you know, 15 years later. And then I went and just kind of listened to this album nonstop. I didn't really put pen to paper a lot like I've done on the other albums we've reviewed. I found it harder to do that on this. But I just let this thing play and play and play. I probably listened to it about 7 or 8, 9, 10 times or something like that. Mm-hmm. I lost count.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was, too. We mentioned it before, you know, with songs like this, you know, the formula seems mostly the same. You know, there's different riffs in every song, but the song is generally the same. So it's hard to really pick out, you know, what's different about them unless, like, the band is actively trying to make this song or this song, you know, completely unique. So, you know, going through track by track doesn't really make any sense. Were there any standouts for you? I've got a couple that I consider worth mention.
Yeah, absolutely, actually. I was a big fan of, I'll just name a few, number 4 track with Circular Ruins, the Wank Cards to start off the main riff. I really wish they would have revisited that throughout the rest of the track, other than that, it kind of, you know, did a really good job of grabbing your attention, as I think most of the songs do. But I really wish they would have revisited that. That was a really cool, unexpected sound based on what I had heard before. I did not expect to hear that.
Yeah, it's a cool riff. I like it.
Yeah. I like the Conspiracy of the Blind, the 2 minutes in, the refrain with the jam session. That was a great job of sounding so layered without seeming so busy. I think they do that in general. Like, a lot of their solos, there's so much going on, whether it's guitar work in the background on top of a solo that's already happening, or just, like, you know, the drumming just going off. You know, it's very, very layered, and I think they do a good job making it sound, like I said, good without sounding too busy and too on top of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a song that I like quite a bit. You know, they do the old Pharaoh's trick that we tend to bring up, you know, the tremolo picking over the chords and stuff, and I obviously am a pretty big fan of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you like the Book of Sand? That's track 8.
Yeah, it was fast. I like, you know, obviously all the tracks are fast. There's not really a problem with
this one's faster though, I think.
It is. I did mention that. And you know, the way it starts, it's just the drums really aren't bringing that beat. You have to give it a second, but it's very interesting, you know? I thought this song probably sounded the most different other than the title track, because it's just kind of, it's made to sound a little different. I really liked this track, actually, too.
Speaking of the title track, I mean, that's one of the ones that I mentioned it to you before when we were talking about this. It's, I always give a little bit more attention to the, you know, to the title track on an album. And I felt like this one delivered. There wasn't too much truly separating it, I guess, from the rest of the album, but I thought the riffs were good, and
Well, I was a little worried when I heard that industrial drumming at the beginning of the track. Like, what the hell is this? It just kind of moved along, and that main riff, I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, Dark Tranquility, it is that up and down, and, you know, I don't know if that's not fair to Dark Tranquility, it's not fair to At the Gates, but man, that, it totally, 100% sums up, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I used to jam out to Dark Tranquility, you know, 10 years ago, quite frequently, but
yeah,
I think it's a little bit of the way that the riffs in the song sounds, and just in general, how the vocals sound. Tell me what you think of the vocals. I think the vocals are not very interesting, you know? I think they're just kind of there. I don't think they do much to enhance what I'm already listening to.
Well, I like the vocals, and I know this is a sore spot for a lot of people who are just now finding out about At the Gates, because it's a very classic death metal style vocal. You know, like, you just, they've got the one thing that he does, and that's pretty much all he does. And I think it's fine. You know, if it doesn't detract, and
that's true,
and it seems like it, you know, every once in a while it adds an extra layer or something. It doesn't bother me, I guess.
Yeah,
I like his voice.
I just kind of felt like I could be listening to an instrumental track and feel like I'd feel the same way about everything.
Okay. Well, speaking of instrumental, The Night Eternal, the final track, isn't instrumental, but there's some extended passages that are instrumental. Did you like that one? Because this was easily my favorite on the album.
Really? I kind of thought that it might be. Yeah, I liked it. Okay. So, like I said, I've listened to this album a lot, but this song right here is probably the one I've heard the least of, and I seemed to always be busy when something was going on. Like, I was trying to do some, like, I was trying to do some, like, last minute kind of cramming for the exam, if you will. And I was watching my boys from Columbia, Missouri just get destroyed in the SEC championship game last night while this song and the back end of it was playing, and I was doing my last minute, you know, cramming. So I like this song, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I know it, you know, note by note. I'm listening to it now and I like it, but I like all the songs, I feel like.
Yeah. I just think, like, starting at about 3 minutes, it takes on a little bit of a different mood, you know, it slows down. And it's just got this, like, foreboding melody kind of going on, and the leads are really, really cool, and it's just the one that stuck out to me the most. I think it's the most different of all the songs on the album, you know, if you exclude the intro.
So you said this is definitely your favorite song on the album?
Yeah, hands down, this is my favorite song on the album.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, like we said, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to sit here and dwell on, like, you know, they play this riff and then they get into this section. It just doesn't make any sense to do that with this. So, like I was saying before, I can't help but not compare it to, first of all, Slaughter of the Soul, for obvious reasons, because that album has gained legend status over the past 20 years. And it predominantly, when people go back and listen to, you know, the album, everybody's all over the internet. It's always like, you got to go listen to Slaughter of the Soul. That's the formula for the future of metal, or the metal age that we're in right now. And everybody's like, well, shit, you're right. You know, it sounds really good. The riffs are right there. There's a song in there that sounds like Unearthed to me. So I can't help but not compare it with that. And then the other one that I can't help but at least compare the situation to is Carcass's Surgical Steel from last year, because they had been gone for quite a while as well. I think it's something like 12 years. And they came back, and not only did they, you know, keep in the style of their most popular and most groundbreaking release, which was Heartwork, they arguably made it better. I feel like I like Surgical Steel more than I like Heartwork. And so it's hard for me to come at this album, which I don't dislike any of these songs. I like them all, and I really enjoy listening to it. But I don't think that they didn't grow at all. And so in that sense, I can't really give the album more than like a B minus to a B. I don't know what you were kind of feeling about it, but that's the way that I see it.
Yeah. And you know, the way that was a really good comparison with the Carcass album. Surgical Steel was definitely an improvement over what had been done in their past. And you're starting to make me think now. And you know, I went back and checked out a bunch of it, but you knew more about the previous albums than I did. So I think I give them a break on this one, and I go B+. You know, I feel like that's such a bland grade, but I really feel like it's a successful album. It's definitely,
I think so too.
It's definitely generated a lot of buzz within the metal community. And these guys are for sure back. I don't feel like this was, can anybody really say that when they come out with a new album, it's a money grab? anymore.
Not with this kind of music.
Exactly. So I don't feel like this was a money grab or anything like that. I just feel like, hey, they want to put out new music, and you know, I think diehards from their older stuff are really going to enjoy this, and it's just going to open up an older style of metal for those who have never heard of them before.
Yep, for sure. I mean, so if you're a fan of, you know, death metal or melodic death metal, or you know, you've heard Slaughter of the Soul before and you enjoyed it, like most people who have heard Slaughter of the Soul, you're absolutely going to enjoy this album. But if you're expecting, you know, innovations or some kind of growth from the band, I, you know, might temper those expectations a little bit. But I'm with you. I think it's a success, and I hope that they stick around and put out some more stuff, because this is a pretty talented band. All right, so a few weeks ago, it feels like a lifetime ago. I've moved across the country twice now. You were a single man back then.
That's right.
Yeah, so we started talking about Metal Sucks. They always do these lists, and this year it was the top 25 best metal bands of all time. And the panel that they had voting on these was just a huge panel of musicians from within the business. You know, death metal bands, regular metal bands, butt rock bands. I think there were some writers. So a pretty vast group of people, and they all went in and wrote down their 25 favorite bands, and then Metal Sucks compiled it, and we did the rundown of that a couple episodes ago, and you and I agreed that there were some discrepancies in what should and shouldn't be there. I don't know if discrepancy is the right word. There's some shit that shouldn't have been there, and there was some shit that shouldn't have been where it was on the list, I think, is the way we walked away. Would you feel good about saying that?
Yeah, I do feel that way. I and it's starting to make me feel like I fucked up my list, you know, saying that even more, because we really weren't grotesquely upset with that list. We just felt like there was some omissions, and there was definitely some love given where I don't think love should have been given, and that really made the list not, you know, awesome. And
yeah,
I think what we did today, or what we did, you know, over the course of last week, was try to maybe fix some of the things that we thought were injustices on the list that had already came out.
Yeah, so I said whatever episode it was that we did that, I think it was 10 or 11, I said that what I thought that would have been the best way is for, you know, Metal Sucks to have put out who they considered maybe the top 25 or 30 bands, and then, like, everybody to rank those bands that they put out, so that you wouldn't have crazy outliers, and, you know, the bottom 15 choices are basically getting around the same amount of votes and, you know, the same amount of points. And then you wouldn't end up with the weird shit like AC/DC being in the list, you know, and they're barely even metal. So Michael and I thought it might be kind of cool to, and this may take some time, but we're going to do it, to, you know, each come up with our own top 25, and kind of compare and contrast and, you know, argue about where each of us thinks that certain bands should be. So real quick, I want to run down the top 25 that Metal Sucks did. That's a lie. I don't have it up with me right now.
I'll do it. So they're
okay.
their top 25. Number 25 was Lamb of God. Number 24, Napalm Death. Number 23, Ozzy Osbourne. Number 22, Boston Celtic Frost. Mm-hmm. Number 21, AC/DC. Number 20, At the Gates, the band we reviewed today. Number 19 was Testament. Number 18, Opeth. 17, Meshuggah. 16, Morbid Angel. 15 was Merciful Fate. 14, Dio. 13, Sepultura. 12, Anthrax. 11, Cannibal Corpse. 10, Carcass. 9, Motorhead. 8, Death. 7, Megadeth. 6, Judas Priest. Number 5, Pantera. 4, Metallica. 3, Slayer. 2, Iron Maiden. And 1, Black Sabbath.
Okay, yeah. So also real quick, I don't know if you saw that the top 25 of the reader list. I think you did.
I have that up as well.
Okay, I've got that one. There's some weird stuff going on in there, some very different ones, and obviously a lot more modern bands made the cut. Like Mastodon came in at like number 6. That's a bit outrageous in my opinion.
Yeah.
Gojira came in at like number 10 or something. Like, they're not on my list. I think they're going to end up there someday because they're that good, but I don't think they're there yet. Bathory showed up on the list. I mean, you could definitely argue that they're a top 25 band of all time. I was pretty surprised that the readers said that.
What about the Behemoth? What about the number one band?
Death
being the number one band.
It's pretty egregious, you know. But even the way that Metal Sucks did it, it's basically like as a reader, you could go down and click up however many people you want. And it's like, well, yeah, Death has to be there. So basically everybody agreed Death had to be there. And that's why they came in at number one, you know.
Yeah.
Who else was weird? Yeah, Between the Buried and Me showed up on their list, Emperor, Merciful Fate. So, yeah, pretty different. Okay, so let's get started on our top 25 here. Michael, why don't you start us off? We'll start at number 25 and then go down to number 21. Yeah, well, I mean, I've got something to say about every one of your bands on here. So, like, I typed out a response just in case, you know, something came up about, well, why is this band above this band, you know?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do this top 25 thing. We'll have Michael go first, and I think the best way to do this is for, we'll post both of our lists up on the Facebook page so you, the listeners, can follow along. Otherwise, this is just going to be a jumble fuck for your ears to try and keep track of, you know, what the hell we're talking about. I will probably post all four lists, actually, you know, the Metal Sucks original one, then the Reader's one, and then mine and yours. What do you think? Sound all right?
That's fine. So my number 25 was Pantera. My 24 was Dillinger Escape Plan. 23, Napalm Death. 22, Mastodon. 21, Merciful Fate.
So right off the bat, I mean, we can see there's a pretty big change for Pantera there.
Here's the thing about Pantera, and I knew this would be a big one. I felt like, I feel like I am on the outside looking in on Pantera, and this was a list of what I think the top 25 should be. Pantera is a big deal within the metal community. I just don't think Pantera, the band, is a big deal. I think their musicians were big deals. They've all gone off and done great things. Unfortunately, you know, Dimebag is no longer with us, but I don't understand how, you know, even just, you know, number 24, Dillinger Escape Plan. I think the fact, you know, what they have brought to the metal community is a lot more than what Pantera, the band, has brought to the metal community. I want you, Anthony, and any listeners to envision Pantera as just a band and not, you know, the individual pieces of that band that have gone on to do, you know, Damage Plan, Hell Yeah, Down, you know, Superjoint, you know, just Pantera. I don't think, you know, some of this has to do with longevity, and Pantera is not there. That is why they are on my list, but they're very deep on the list.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us are big Pantera fans. It's just so tough to deny what they are able to do. I mean, honestly, I've had a huge mental block about Pantera for a long time. I mean, for a long time I just straight up did not like them, but there's some stuff that you can't ignore with them. I mean, have you listened to Cowboys from Hell?
Yes.
Like, at any length?
Listened to all of it.
Okay, so Cowboys from Hell is pretty heavy album, right?
Yeah.
Obviously,
they weren't the first band to do a heavy album.
No, but that album came out in 1990, all right? Consider that. That's before Nirvana came along and Alice in Chains came along and changed the 80s hair metal scene. Like, Metallica hadn't dropped the Black Album. Megadeth hadn't dropped Rust in Peace. Guns N' Roses hadn't dropped Appetite for Destruction. So, like, Pantera dropped this album. That's pretty impressive to me, to go against the grain that much and to be that successful.
But I don't get it, because they weren't, I mean, they weren't the only band doing it. Like, there were other metal bands out there. Now, to be as popular as they were, well, sure. But Metallica wasn't, you know, granted the Black Album came out later, but they were popular for what they were for before. So was
True.
Black Sabbath, so was Ozzy, so was, you know, Megadeth. I mean, so were all these other bands.
True.
And then it just kind of stopped when Pantera stopped. I get the popularity. They deserve to be on the list. But I just, that is my argument for why they're so low. I know I'm going to get some shit for that, but. That's truly how I feel.
I can't give you a ton of shit because they're a band that I don't enjoy that much. But then when I go on, Far Beyond Driven came out in 1994. That album debuted at number one on the Billboard charts. That's the first extreme is loosely attached to Pantera, but the first extreme metal album to ever do that, to debut at number one on Billboard. That's pretty impressive in, you know, the year that a lot of pretty big fucking, you know, like Bush's 16 Stone came out that year. Nirvana's In Utero came out that year. Austin Chain's self-titled came out that year. Super Unknown, I think. Well, maybe that came out in 96.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't consider Far Beyond Driven that extreme. That's almost like a harder nu metal, you know, not nu metal is not a good word, but they're... It's like almost like kind of similar to like what Anthrax was doing at that time. It's just not that heavy. I don't understand. There's a lot of people that can like aggressive music. Not to say it wasn't metal. I'm not saying that, but Far Beyond Driven was not what Cowboys from Hell was. I feel like it's just a different sound, and it kind of fell off metal. It was a little more radio friendly. I don't know.
How do you feel about Vulgar Display of Power?
Vulgar Display of Power is a cool album.
I think that's their best album.
It is their best album, yes, I agree.
I mean, Mouth for War is fucking rad. I really hate Walk. That's a big part of why I don't like Pantera. But fucking Hostile is a nasty song. This Love is rad. There's good songs on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in 92, like the same year as Dirt, the same year as Nevermind, I believe. I mean... It's pretty tough. Maybe we'll talk about it again when they show up on my list, because I have them ranked higher. So do you want to move on? Let's see. The Dillinger Escape Plan, I mean, I have them as well. I mean, they're innovators, to say the least. There's just nobody like the Dillinger Escape Plan, and there never will be. I see them as a climber. Like, as time goes on, people are going to be like, wow, that band was really special.
Yeah.
And, you know, this list, 10 years from now, they'll be higher on the list.
Right. I agree.
All right, so why don't we tackle your next 20 here?
All right.
next five of 20.
Number 20, Anthrax. Number 19, Between the Buried and Me. 18, Carcass. 17, Tool. 16, Behemoth. 15, Dio.
So there's a few in here that I considered surprising. Number one being Tool, because I seem to remember you telling me that you don't even really consider them a metal band that much.
You've made me reconsider my words, Anthony.
Yeah. I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, I have a really hard time with another band that I don't really consider metal that's in your list, and I did not include them. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Alice in Chains?
Yes. So yeah. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But Tool, I feel like there are too many people to consider them a metal band for me to not have them in this list. And I started to think about the bands that I, you know, would place them in front of or behind. And I just felt like, you know, maybe, oh, man, I don't know. It's tough. Anthrax is hard to drop so much. I don't know if they really dropped because I just didn't consider them a metal band for a long period of time. I hate saying that, you know, just about anybody. You know, if you're a metal band, you're a metal band. You know, but the music that you might make may not be metal, for lack of a better, adjective.
Yep.
That's just kind of why I feel like Anthrax was their Tool. I just felt like was better than the bands behind them. You know, we just talked about Carcass. They took a long time off. Otherwise, I figure if they were doing something for a more constant period of time, I would have had them a lot higher.
Yeah.
Behemoth has been around for so long. I mean, you're starting to get up in the top 15 right there. They're just on the cusp. I just feel like as far as how heavy they are and how long they've been around, I think that that's you're starting to get into your heavy hitters. Once you start to get up any of the bands right above Tool.
Right. So I mean, with Tool, I knew you didn't quite consider them metal, but to me, I mean, the maybe you haven't noticed, or maybe you have now since you've been a metal fan, but the metal world awaits every Tool album with the highest expectations, and they're always on the edge of their seat for over 5 years every time they release an album since Anima, which came out in like 95 or something like that. They're always waiting. You know, they're always just keeping, for 8 motherfucking years, I've been waiting for the follow-up to 10,000 Days. And it's driving me nuts, but I know that when they drop it, it's going to deliver, because they always do. It's just, they have so many copycats, especially vocally. Like, everybody copies Maynard. I could just spout out tons of bands, right? You know, Earshot sounds exactly like Maynard from Tool. Fucking 10 Years sounds exactly like Maynard from Tool. And everyone likes Tool, you know, at least a little bit. There's songs you like by Tool.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, after that, Anthrax, look, I don't consider anything ever written by that band required listening. They're not even on my list. To me, the best things they ever did were collaborations, you know, like Bring the Noise or something with like other bands. I just don't, the other big three in thrash, they have at least 3 required albums for like any legitimate metal fan. Slayer, to me, they've got at least 3. Megadeth, 3 to 4, depending on whether or not you consider So Far, So Good, So What. And Metallica, in my opinion, 5. But if you're not a dickhead, 7. So I can't put them up there. They were there so early that they kind of became, you know, they were more popular than Testament. Testament's a better motherfucking band, if you ask me.
I agree.
So I see no reason why to put Anthrax in there. I don't care.
You're so brutal. Well, let's see. Anthrax on the, am I missing them?
The fans?
The fans, they didn't put them in there.
No.
And then where are the other guys? The metal bands, they did them number 12, so they give them a huge props. I didn't see it. To me, there's the back end of my list and the front end of my list. The back end is kind of bands that maybe some I wanted to include, some of them that I thought should be included. And when I'm starting to rank, okay, man, I just, you know, we already talked about Pantera, you know, Dillinger, Napalm, Mastodon, Merciful Fate, and then Anthrax right there. I do feel like Anthrax has brought something to the metal community for a sustained period of time that has given them respect. Obviously, there are people in the metal community that help create that list that feel the same way. I feel like there should be more love for them, and I was kind of surprised by the fans list. I couldn't remember for a second if they had put them in there, but I just feel like they should be there. But I did feel like I brought justice to the fact that I kept them lower in the list.
Yeah, I will say, like, as I was surprised that it didn't show up in the fans list, too, because of the big four, Anthrax is the one who most recently put out a good album. Worship Music is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I actually have that album. I ended up buying it. I liked it.
In my opinion, it's fine. But to most people who like metal, and Anthrax especially, it was pretty well regarded as a great album. So, yeah, I mean, we can talk more about Anthrax later if you want. I'm just kind of hitting on the bands that aren't in my list. Behemoth is obviously a band I love. I mean, I was surprised you put him quite this high, but it's, you know, kind of tough to argue against. I had 10 albums of varying success. 2 of them are absolute monsters. Evangelion and The Satanist are just outrageously good.
Yeah,
but to me, I have to put a couple other black metal bands ahead of them.
Like who?
Well, they'll show up on my list.
Okay.
But if I was going to put Behemoth on the list, I would have to put Emperor before them, and Emperor doesn't even make the cut for me.
Yeah.
So then the other one, the other glaring omission from my list that you probably took issue with is that I don't have Dio on there.
Yeah, I did take that because you put Ozzy on your list.
I did. I mean, I just can't do it. There's no way Dio makes the list if Ozzy doesn't. Most of the people in the old days of metal say that they attribute their interest in metal and everything it has to Black Sabbath. You know, to them, Black Sabbath is Ozzy. Rob Halford said that on that metal show. To him, Ozzy Osbourne, the Ozzy era was the Black Sabbath era that he, you know, didn't grow up listening to, but that's the one that he really cut his teeth with. So after Ozzy helped change the music world forever, he went on his own and wrote 6 outstanding metal albums. And if you ask like the casual metal fan, if they've ever heard Heaven and Hell, there's, you know, maybe a 50-50 chance. And, like, that's going to get lower and lower the farther we get.
And that's awful.
But But if you ask them if they've ever heard Crazy Train or No More Tears, Mama, I'm Coming Home, Bark at the Moon, like they've heard those songs. You know, everyone knows those songs. So I cannot put Dio on there if I don't have Aussie Higher.
I understand. But I feel like Dio just means a little bit more to the metal community.
He's better. He's better, and he's more awesome, and I like him way more than I like Ozzy.
Yeah.
Does that help?
That's what I wanted to say right there.
Okay.
But I didn't know if that would piss you off. That's what I feel. He's better, and I like him more, and I think that Dio should be on the list higher than Ozzy. That's just my opinion. You know, I thought it was interesting how the metal community thought the same. They had him number 14. They had Ozzy at number 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go and look at the readers list, they had number 19 Dio. They didn't have Ozzy on there at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I can tell you why that is.
Go ahead and school us on that, Anthony.
Well, I mean, if Ozzy had died after No More Tears came out, we would be regarding him as he would be way up this list, basically. But he basically destroyed his reputation by doing that show, and then several, like, I'm Really Trying to Hang In There albums where he just doesn't quite cut it.
Yeah, well, and I think Dio hung around a lot longer before he eventually ended up passing. And he did a hell of a job.
All right, so let's move on. You at number 14 now.
Because I read off 15 by mistake. So,
right.
15 was Dio. Number 14 is Opeth. Number 13 is Testament. Number 12 is Motorhead. Number 11 is Death. That's that the top five right before my top 10. So we talked about Dio a little bit. Opeth is a modern band that I felt like should really get a lot of love.
Yeah.
I remember reviewing the album. What was it called? The newest one.
shit. I don't remember.
Sorry, I put you on the spot.
No. I got it. Pale Communion.
Yeah, that was awful.
It wasn't awful. It just wasn't metal.
Yeah, it was awful for a metal album. It was awful. But Opeth for a long time has been an excellent, superior, just fantastic metal band.
One of our prized possessions.
Yes. So I had no problem putting him in my top 15. In fact, this is where it became really hard for me to kind of space where bands should go. Damn.
Yeah.
Did you kind of just fly through your list and then once you got to the top 15, just be like, fuck, okay, wait a second. Let me think.
No, I had a really hard time with most of it, actually.
Oh, me too.
Okay, so let's talk about Testament.
Okay.
So this is the band that's left out of the big four, like we mentioned.
Which is a travesty.
It is, because they're just straight up better than Anthrax, if you ask me, and obviously if we ask you. But to me, the band that's left out of the big four, it's not quite enough for me to rank them above bands like Opeth or Tool or Carcass or Between the Buried and Me. Mostly I'm just glad you have them above Anthrax. You'll see, you know, the listeners will see later that the Testament doesn't make the cut for me.
Yeah, which blows my mind. But, you know, we talked about Testament. I talked about them last week with one of my comeback albums. And you plainly admitted that you don't know much about those albums. I think they've redefined themselves to sound, you know, modern, and they sound brutal, and they sound great, and they're touring, and they're a big part of the metal community. I just think with what they've done for such a long time, trying to reinvent themselves, to carry what they've done, I just think Testament deserves a whole hell of a lot more love than anyone ever gives them. And I think it's justified. I don't think I'm just pulling this one out of my ass. But
well, do you think it's kind of like the, I don't know, kind of like an unearthed treatment? Like they've always been sort of like not quite the best band around, and they don't have like that one defining album that is there an album by Testament that is like the one that I need to go listen to? You know, like, do they have Megadeth's Rest in Peace or, you know, Master of Puppets or, you know, Rain and Blood? Like, do they have one of those?
No. Yeah, that's a great point you bring up. You know, I would argue that probably their later albums are probably, you know, no, I wouldn't say that, because some of their older albums in the 80s are just fantastic, but
yeah,
nothing to those, I would say.
Okay.
That's why I don't have them above those bands. You know, I really just felt, because of their longevity, that I had to put them above Opeth. But, you know, mm-hmm. obviously this is a big one for you, because you regard Opeth so highly, as I do, but you don't have Testament even on your list, and I have them at 13.
Right. And you're right. The biggest reason is that I just haven't listened to them enough over the years. I'm not nearly familiar enough with their music.
Yeah, so who are we to be making this list, right?
Obviously, we're not qualified.
But no one else wants to make a metal podcast, so.
Right.
So we're making a metal podcast, and we're making our fucking list.
Yeah, and fucking Motorhead's on it, unfortunately. Do you like Motorhead?
Yeah, I like Motorhead. You don't like Motorhead?
I hate this. I fucking hate Motorhead, man. But there's nothing, you can't argue their influence, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, they're on my list, they're way higher than I wish they were.
They're number 9 on the band's list.
Yeah.
And then they're number 14 on the fans' list.
Mm-hmm.
So, I felt I may have gone a little hot. When I was thinking about Motorhead, I was thinking they would probably be in the 15, 16-ish range. But the way my list kind of, you know, turned out, I think Motorhead ended up in a fine spot. I don't know really how I could argue that one. They're just, as you said, they have a long arm of reach in the metal community.
Yeah, I just think, like, as time passes, they're one of those bands where, like, as soon as bands like Opeth and Lamb of God and stuff, they start to have, like, a legacy aspect to them, Motorhead's not going to quite measure up anymore.
They'll drop?
I think they're going to drop, because they're not that important in the development of metal to me.
Yeah, I could see that. But for what they are now, I think that this is a fine spot in the list.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I think I probably had, like, number 12 or something like that for them. I had them at 13, so.
Any problem with Death at 11?
I had them a little bit higher. They're my favorite death metal band. To me, they're the greatest death metal band of all time. So I don't have a problem. I don't necessarily have a problem with them being number 11, but I have a problem with a couple bands that you have higher than them.
I know you will. I know you will, that's for sure. My favorite of the all-time death metal bands is yet to come. So I guess I'll read those off now. My number 10 is Meshuggah. My number 9 is Lamb of God. Homer. Number 8 is Megadeth. Number 7 is Metallica. My number 6 is Cannibal Corpse.
Okay, so I got to be careful here, because you switched it on me.
Yeah. I remember we won't tell the crowd what I had it before.
Yeah.
Because I realized that was a huge omission, so.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and talk about Lamb of God, because I've got them high on my list. Well, not super high, but I have them on my list as well. They're your thing. To me, I think, yeah, they're a little bit too high on your list. Your respect for death metal and bands like Cannibal Corpse tells me that the Death in particular, I think they just have to be ranked above Lamb of God, who, again, I don't think they innovated anything, but they did master it.
I think that they are, I want to be careful here, because I'm not doing a very good job of being objective, but I like to think that I am, and I said when this list came out, I was stupid pissed about how, you know, they were at 25. I thought they should, if I was being gracious, they should be, you know, in the top 15 at the very least. I think they're a top 10 metal band all day long, every day of the week. They are a top 10 metal band. And I know that's not how your list looks, but you talk about mastering shit. Plus, they've been around for a while now. It's not like they came out 10 years ago. I mean, they came out with, you know, your favorite album that's your favorite album, right?
What do you mean my favorite album?
Of theirs?
Are you talking about Ashes of the Wake?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out in 2004, right?
Yeah, that's your favorite album of theirs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the year that your their favorite album. That was their fourth album, if you're counting Burn the Priest, so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They've got longevity. They have a lot of clout. Talking about bringing you know metal to the masses. I mean, the fact that they can just fill up every place they go to at a remarkable rate. The fan base is there. They sell records. They're nominated for Grammys every year, and it's not just because of their name. I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like this is so egregious.
You know, I'm going to take back that they didn't innovate anything. I don't think they innovated anything musically, but I think they did innovate some, well, I guess you can call it marketing if you want. But they made you like the members of the band. They let you get to know them. Like, if you go back to Killadelphia, I think that was the biggest part of them becoming a huge band. Like, they were already kind of garnering that underground, like, we're the best band in the underground type thing, especially with As the Palaces Burn. But right after Ashes of the Wake, they dropped Killadelphia, and, you know, they put Randy getting his ass kicked by Mark Morton on the video. And it's like, wow, they really let us in, you know, to see what it's like to be one of us. And then every time they drop those, I'm almost more excited for their DVDs than I am their music. I always know I'm going to love their music too. So I think that says something. I think that's a pretty cool thing that they've done, and no one else has ever done anything like that.
Thank you. Thank you for making that sound justified. I figured you would have an issue with it, and I know you still probably do, but you just made it sound justified just a little bit more, so thank you.
Well, I mean, I just think, like, when I was watching As the Palaces Burn, that DVD that just came out, the whole thing, like, when Randy's sitting there and talking in the front, I'm just like, man, this guy's come such a long way, and, you know, we've been able to see it happen, not just read about it. And it's not like, you know, James Hetfield being drunk all throughout the 80s and the 90s and then finally getting sober in the 2000s. It's not like that because we didn't quite see it, you know? And their music got fucking terrible. So so it's just, yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you putting them this high. I know how important they are to you, and I think time will probably put them, you know, in the top 10 eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised just reading comments on the fans list, like how much hate there is for Lamb of God. It pisses me off. I'm like, why?
It's just because they're popular.
Why? Golly. What's wrong with being popular? I mean, there's a reason for it. So, I mean, the fans have had them right there at 15, you know, dead set in the center. So,
right.
Yeah, it is what it is, I guess. I hate that line, but everybody in my life uses it, I feel like. I end up using it too, unfortunately.
So who else did you read off? You read off Megadeth, right?
Yeah, Megadeth was after Lamb of God, which was after Meshuggah.
Right.
Yeah, Megadeth is just, you talk about albums that have to be listened to by every metal fan. Megadeth is just so important. What I didn't understand from a list standpoint is, where was it? No, never mind. The Metal Sucks list had them at number 7. The fans list had them at number 8, and you know, I've got them, you know, right there at number 8. So
yeah, I think it feels about right.
Yeah, and then after that, it's kind of where my list maybe takes a few left turns that maybe some people didn't see coming. So right after that, after that, I have Metallica at number 7, and okay. I've got, hey, listen. This is, I feel like I'm trying to explain why they're number 25 on my list, like Pantera right here. They are one of the best metal bands of all time, but for damn near 20 years, they didn't make metal. So I do take issue.
Saying that they didn't make metal is a bit egregious to me.
to the point where I can put these other bands above them, I'm fine with that. That's how I feel.
Okay, make your case. Or is that your case?
That's my case.
You know what? Metallica has 3 diamond albums.
Okay.
Are you aware? You know what that means, right?
Yeah, I know what diamond means.
Okay. As far as I know, 1 diamond album is a feat that only Linkin Park, Kid Rock, Def Leppard, Van Halen, Guns N' Roses, and ACD have accomplished. And, like,
you know what they have in common with Metallica? You know what they don't have in common with Metallica?
What?
It is none of those other bands are on this list.
Because they're not even metal.
Not,
like I'm saying,
it's not
they're
a metal
barely...
thing. It's not a metal thing.
Okay, my point is, Metallica is the only band to ever have a diamond motherfucking album as metal, and they have 3.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
You can make a case for Linkin Park being metal. They were new metal. That album's really, really great. We talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, but no metal band since Metallica is not influenced by Metallica or some other band that it was, you know, previously influenced by Metallica.
I got him in my top seven.
Yeah, but you've got, I can't, no, there's no way I can, I guess I have to wait until you name off the next couple bands. But to me, I mean, they're the point of entry, even 20 years after Black Album dropped. Metallica is probably the point of entry for at least 50% of new metal fans.
I don't know. I wanted to put them a little higher. I just found that bands that I was putting in here go a little higher. We had the argument when we saw that the original Metal Sucks list about why Slayer was ranked higher than them, and the fans did it as well.
Well, that's not surprising.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm a fan, and this is my list, and I got them at number 7.
Yeah, but I don't consider you an asshole internet music nerd like I consider the fans.
That's exactly what we are, Anthony. You and I.
No, we're not. No, I don't have a huge problem with you putting Slayer above. I do have a huge problem with you putting the next band above. So maybe we should just move on.
You don't like Cannibal Corpse?
It's not that I don't like them.
Where are they on your list?
They're not.
Exactly. What the fuck is that?
They're fine, but the two death metal bands I have on there, I think, are more important.
Oh, man. Cannibal Corpse is the most far-reaching. They're like the Lamb of God of death metal. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if that even makes sense. You talk about far-reaching and being out there, and oh, my gosh. Cannibal Corpse has done so much for the metal community to make it such a bigger deal than it ever was. There were a lot of bands like, you know, Death and Carcass and bands like that that never got any play except within its own community. And Cannibal Corpse has done so much to open that up. I didn't think this was that, you know, unbelievable. I thought all day long Cannibal Corpse would end up being a top 10 band. It's just the way that kind of my list came together. I couldn't believe when I saw your list that they weren't in it. But I could argue this one all day long, that Cannibal Corpse is one of the biggest influential death metal bands of all time. Metal Sucks had them at 11. The fans, fuck, where did they put them? Fans suck anyway. They had them at number 21. They had them at number 21 and they had death number 1. I could, you know, I know there's a lot of love for death out there. I gotta go with Cannibal Corpse at number 1. Just more on, if you want to say that I'm basing it more on their outreach, that's fine. Death had a lot of good albums. So has Cannibal Corpse. So I don't know.
What I will say is that as far as like death metal goes, like they are straight up like never anything but death metal. That's exactly what they are. While Carcass and Death both like branched out quite a bit. They obviously they were always death metal, but they did bring in some other influence and stuff. And Cannibal Corpse is straight up motherfucking death metal.
They are the most evil band, and it's like saying that like a band like 6 Feet Under or Nile, you know, has been around for, you know, 25 years. It doesn't happen, you know. Cannibal Corpse is it. I mean, it is unbelievable what they've been able to achieve.
It is. So I guess my biggest problem, really, I wouldn't have any issues with you having them on the list, except that the two bands you have before them, in my opinion, should come before Cannibal Corpse.
So you want Megadeth and Metallica moved up to 7 and 6, and you want Cannibal Corpse at 8?
I wouldn't have an issue with that.
So if I did that, you would have absolutely no qualms with my list.
No. No. You've heard my qualms with your list. I'm going to have a bigger one when we get to about number 2.
Come on. Come on. All right.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, top 5. So, top 5, Black Sabbath. Number 4 is Slayer. Number 3 is Judas Priest. Number 2 is Dream Theater. Number 1 is Iron Maiden.
I'm not sure which part of this to tackle first.
Fire away.
Okay. Okay. So, I guess I just didn't quite realize you were this high on Dream Theater. I mean,
yes.
I'm not sure how you can justify them being a number 2. Like they didn't innovate the genre, and they never garnered more than like niche attention. You know, they were the biggest of the bands in that side, But I don't know how you can love Dream Theater this much without giving Queensryche their due, because Dream Theater is just ripping off Queensryche
for Queensryche's
first two
albums.
Whoa.
Dream Theater's been doing this a lot longer than Queensryche.
That's a negative.
They have been doing metal longer than Queensryche has.
No, man.
Absolutely. And they have musicians who are so skilled and perfect at what they do.
Absolutely.
They have global fan base.
They do.
They have sustained being able to create metal for decades upon decades, and they're still doing it right now.
Yeah, if you ask me, the progressive side, basically, like Dream Theater came out with Images and Words, right? Pull Me Under and stuff. Like, that's their first, like, breakthrough album.
Mm-hmm.
Operation Mindcrime was 88. Rage for Order, 96. 96, Jesus, 86. The Warning was 84. Like, if you go listen to Mike Portnoy interviews, he cites those as influences. You know, they may have been around, they were metal, but, like, when they became the progressive metal band that we know, in my opinion, that happened with Images and Words. I don't know how you can have them this high.
They should have a lot more attention than what they get. Images and Words did come out in 92. That's my bet.
But it's so hard. Like, how can you say that they deserve more? Because most metal fans don't have the kind of attention that you need to listen to a Dream Theater song. Like, have you ever listened to Metropolis? Like, that shit is so long.
I like that album.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's awesome. It's right up my alley. I love it, you know. But the guys who listen to Seether aren't going to be interested in Dream Theater, you know? So that's why that they're never going to be a huge band.
I don't need
But they do have that, they have that serious following in every country, you're right.
I felt like they are, what they do as a metal band, as talking about, you know, as perfectionists, deserves more than what the bands behind them have given an art of metal, because they, in my opinion, are right up there with them as far as presence, maybe not records sold, but fan bases are huge. You might get me to say maybe I should have had them a little bit lower. I am standing by having them a top five band.
I guess what they were doing was never that different. Like, if you want to ignore Queensryche, that's fine. I know that you don't give them the same love that I do.
I just haven't listened to them as much as you have.
Oh, that's fine. But
I'm not just holding them out completely just to spite you.
No, I know. But Dream Theater is basically only like adding metal to what Rush had been doing for 15 years already. So to me, I can't have them quite that high. They're on my list too. I don't remember. Yeah, I had them pretty high too. So yeah.
So I know that you like Dream Theater as far as being on this list goes, but you just really. You really have to take issue with how high I have them.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of metal, I mean, you got Black Sabbath at 5. That's pretty... Okay, you better start with that one.
How much time do we have here? All right.
Oh, so, I mean, we're moving. we got to keep moving.
So, Black Sabbath, I just feel like the bands that I have above them are better metal bands as far as, you know... Outreach, as far as, you know, I know that they started the genre. I know. Everybody knows. I feel like they pale in comparison to what Slayer, Judas Priest, Dream Theater, and Iron Maiden are as a whole. That's it in a short, sweet statement.
I mean, I was also surprised to see Iron Maiden being number one, because when I mentioned that I would have put them at number one before, you didn't seem too on board with that.
Yeah, but I thought about it some more, and I was thinking about who I should put at number one, and it just made the most sense. Some of this was, you know, where do I put these other bands? And then I just kept putting bands behind Iron Maiden, and Iron Maiden just kind of showed up at number one. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've got them at number one, too. I think I said that in that other list.
I thought you would take an issue with Judas Priest at 3.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of them. Most other metal fans are, you know, so I can't argue too much with them. To me, they're more famous for their songs that are, to me, they're more rock than they are metal. Like, I think the best of is when they really became metal with, like, Painkiller and all that. But they're most famous for their hard rock stuff. So that's why I don't have them that high on the list.
Gotcha.
So why don't we move on and you can start to take issue with my list and you can pay me back a little bit.
That's all right. I can't fucking wait because I feel like I just got my ass handed to me.
Oh, don't feel that way. It's an opinion. It's fine. Okay. So my number 25. Well, yes, I'll start at 25. So I've got Dimmu Borgir at 25, Sepultura at 24, Between the Buried and Me at 23. I've got Slipknot at 22 and Mastodon at 21. And I don't have typed out blurbs about what I love and hate about this, so I'm not nearly as ready for what you have to say to me.
To be honest with you, I don't have issues with any of these. The bands that I didn't put on my list, Sepultura, Dimmu Borgir, Slipknot, Mastodon, these are all bands I considered putting in my list. I just couldn't put them above some of the older bands that have kind of been around a little bit longer.
Okay.
I guess Sepultura is not really one that is like a newer band of any kind. So what I really take issue with is what you have coming next.
All right. So let's hit on Between the Buried and Me here because I didn't talk about it on your side. I mean, I'm going to make an analogy here that I've had like secretly for years and years, and this probably isn't the venue to do it, but I consider them the LeBron James of metal. All right.
What?
Let it sink in. All right. To me, I think that the band is just clearly the best at not just what they do, but what basically everyone does. They're the best at the largest range of styles, mechanically perfect. Like everyone in that band is so good at what they do that they could go out and start their own band and be the prime musician. You know, every album since they've released Colors would have been held in equally high regard had they not already brought the technical metal world crashing to its foundations with Colors. I think, I just think they're so great.
I think they're great too.
As time goes on, they're gonna climb.
Absolutely. After Colors, after fucking shit. What's the name of the next album?
The Great Misdirect, right?
Yeah.
That's your favorite. How do you not know the name of your favorite?
Because I'm horrible with names of songs and albums and shit like that. I just know. Oh, when I hear it, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I've always been like that as a metal fan.
Yeah, Disease, Injury, Madness, man.
Oh, I fucking love that song. So good. I made a statement. You know, here's this for a mindfuck after what we just talked about. I made a statement a while ago that Between the Buried and Me is the new Dream Theater. And they are improving upon what Dream Theater has laid the foundation for over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I hold Between the Buried and Me in such a high regard. I actually thought that you would have them higher in your list than I did, but maybe you just don't like the fact that they were as high as they were in my list. But
I just think not yet.
Okay.
Basically,
gotcha. Yeah, that's fine. I actually don't have any qualms about any of those bands being in, you know, the top 25 through 21 of any list, because I would think that newer bands would show up in the back end of the list anyway.
I expected you to have an issue with Dimmu Borgir.
No, because for a long time, I actually listened to them a lot. So it's been a while since I've listened to them, a lot. But I would say about 8 years ago, I actually did listen to them, and I still have a couple of their albums. I just haven't, you know, really listened to them in a long time. But no.
Well, then we would both take some flack for that then, and not just me.
Yeah, I know. But, I'm okay with that, actually.
Okay, so we'll move on. I know you're going to hate this one. So at number 20, I've got Alice in Chains. I've got Isis at 19, Ozzy Osbourne at 18, 17 is Tool, 16 is Meshuggah.
Oh, my gosh. Alice in Chains at number 20.
Yeah.
And your top 25 metal bands of all time.
Yep.
What the fuck?
So you don't consider them metal? That's the issue here, right?
Yeah. No. They're an alternative rock band.
No.
They're grunge metal. I mean, they're grunge rock. They're something. They're what gets played on the rock station in St. Louis, Missouri on FM. That is what the hell?
No, man.
What the hell? Explain yourself.
They're borderline sludge metal.
Sludge metal? You're out of your
sludge
mind.
Metal. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Dude, there's no way that you can get away with playing tritones and shit like and fucking 6/8 time if you're not a metal band, all right? That doesn't fly in alternative rock. You don't hear Soundgarden doing that. You don't hear Stone Temple Pilots doing that. You don't hear Nirvana doing that. You don't hear Pearl Jam doing that, all right? They're metal. Jerry Cantrell is a metal guitarist. The vocal harmonies that they do, nobody else does that shit. That's metal. All right. They take out Deftones and Mastodon on tour. They're just, obviously I love Alice in Chains. You know I do.
Yes.
I consider, oh my God, and now I'm going to forget the name of their first album. I remember Dirt and I remember the self-titled, but I consider that first album that's got, Man in the Box and stuff on it. Those three I think are essential for 90s, like 90s metal. And then if you consider the way that they can strip down when they want to, like I think that their Unplugged stuff, that with MTV, I think they've got the best Unplugged album of any band ever, which doesn't make a case for them being metal at all.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I feel like you're making my point. I'm like, this is such a mainline kind of, MTV rock band. This is not a metal band. I feel like I gave you a cracker by putting Tool on my list, and they're pretty much in the in the exact same spot.
Oh man,
Alice in Chains, man! I would have took issue if you put them at 25. This blows my mind. This might be my biggest issue with your list.
Well, I'm not sure how else I can sell it to you.
No, you haven't sold it. Consider it the Dream Theater number 2 thing.
I figured you would have an issue with ISIS.
You know, ISIS is a band I don't know much about, so I really can't argue it. So that's,
well, I mean, you'd hate them.
Know. Huh?
You would hate them.
Oh, well.
I'm pretty sure you wouldn't like them. Like, they're where, like, the Rosettas and Cult of Lunas and all those bands come from.
Well, are they still alive and kicking? Of course they are. We read about them having issues with because of the whole ISIS movement.
Yeah, but they did. They broke up in 2010.
I don't know. I don't know much about them. I feel like I can't make that statement. So.
Okay. Well, I have Ozzy.
Yeah.
And Dio.
Yeah. We already talked about that. That's some ridiculous bullshit right there. 18? 18? Like the metal bands.
Fucking Darkness.
The fans didn't put them on there. The metal band, the metal groups. Metal Sucks had him at 22, and he had the least amount of votes of any of the... No, wait, AC/DC did. He had the second least amount of votes from the people who made that list. I understand your point from earlier, but Dio is just better.
I think he's better, too.
What the fuck, then?
I like him more, sure. Ozzy's got timeless stuff, and his stuff is going to persist in a way that Dio's probably won't.
Ooh, I disagree.
No, people are... Dude, you hear fucking Crazy Train played it. Like, you hear it at NFL games, NBA games. Dude, you hear it on every radio station.
He's got 3 songs that'll be timeless and awesome forever. But Dio's stuff is not... I don't think Dio would... Okay, listen to this. So, remember how we kind of talked about Motorhead kind of being one of those bands that deserves to be up there but kind of will drop? I would put Ozzy Osbourne in that list. I do not think that the ghost of Ozzy Osbourne will gain greater aura as time passes.
That may be a fair point.
I really think that he will have the songs that he is known for and Black Sabbath that he's known for, but I think as time goes on and on and on and on and on and on, that's Dio. That's Dio. It's just a bad Dio right there, but it's Dio.
I got it.
I think that the metal community will hold Dio in a higher regard than Ozzy Osbourne.
Well, maybe.
I'll bet you a dollar.
All right, where did I leave off?
Ozzy Osbourne.
I don't remember. Ozzy Osbourne's the last one I did?
Well, we talked about...
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, we talked about the next 5. So Meshuggah was the next 5.
So Meshuggah was the last one. Okay. So my 15 was Lamb of God, and then 14 I had Opeth, 13 Motorhead, 12 Pantera, 11 Dream Theater.
I don't know where you get off putting Lamb of God behind bands like Pantera, fucking Dream Theater. Wait, did I say that? Wait a second. They're higher on my list. What the fuck? Yeah, Lamb of God is where they probably, I guess, where they should be. Ugh. I just think they should be, I don't know, maybe it won't be too much longer. Maybe 5-10 years from now, they will be held in higher esteem than Pantera and Motorhead. I'm just surprised you didn't give them that credit now.
Yeah, I think Opeth deserves a bit more recognition.
Pantera's high on your list, 12.
Well, I already told you, why I made that decision.
Yeah, I could see him being top 20 in that case then, but 12, holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Dream Theater, I feel like, well, I mean, we talked about them. Obviously, they're the kings of that genre.
But you had to make sure you put them right behind Queensryche, right?
Yep, that's how I feel, bro. That's how I feel. Queensryche is the best-kept secret in metal.
But weren't they not non-existent, you know what I mean by that, but they were not the same band for so long.
No, they basically have Metallica-itis.
Metallica-itis, what do you mean?
Like, they dropped their best album, and then for 20 years, they put out nothing but shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, okay.
Like, absolute garbage.
Perfect, yeah. Exactly what you just said. So, why would you put them at number 10, then?
Dream Theater has tons of albums I don't like.
Yeah, but they're all good.
No, they're not.
They are.
No, they're not. There's a bunch of stuff they have that I don't like.
We'll just have to agree to disagree on that one, then.
I guess. So we better move on. So at 10, I had Queensryche. At 9, I had Carcass. At 8, I had Scorpions. At 7, I had Death. And 6 was Judas Priest.
I expected I would hate Scorpions being at number 8. The more I think about it, though, dude, I think that's ingenious, putting them in your top 10.
How the fuck are they not on these other lists?
I think it is, and I actually have a couple of Scorpion albums, and I have a best of them. A lot of their shit doesn't sound very metal, and I think a lot of people don't consider them metal.
Well, just because they're so old.
No, not because of that. I think it's just they have a lot of ballads and, you know, a lot of slow, dreamy kind of tunes, and it's just some of it doesn't sound, you know, quote-unquote metal, but I do consider them a metal band. I just didn't think of them enough to put them in my top 25. I like the pick. I think that's cool. I think that's a very underrated pick on your list here.
They've got some gems, man. That album Blackout is so nasty.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I love Blackout, and like obviously Rock You Like a Hurricane is one of the most famous songs ever. Like not just metal, like one of the most famous rock songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've just got tons of good stuff. No One Like You is great. The Zoo's awesome. Just so good. I love Scorpions.
Yep.
They're so goddamn German. I love that their singer cannot speak English. I think that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Do what now?
Their singer? He can't speak English.
Even though he can sing it?
Yeah, they tell him what to sing. He can't speak it.
That's unbelievable. I did not know that.
Isn't that great?
That's unbelievable. Like, still to this point, after being, like...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I heard that a few years ago, and maybe now he's learned English, but I figured, like, if you haven't learned it by then, he probably still doesn't know it.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ingenious. You don't have to do any goddamn interviews. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and then I had Death and Judas Priest there.
Yeah, Judas Priest I felt like should be above your number 5 band, but they're not held in high as regard by you, and they're not held in high regard as some of the fans out there. So I can live with it. I'm not thrilled about it because obviously I had them a lot higher. I could see Death. I felt like maybe Death was a little low on my list, but so I could see them popping out a little bit higher on your list. Man, I feel like I don't got anything, you know, awful to say to you about yours. Can we go back and talk about fucking Alice in Chains again?
Right. Well, we can talk about a couple bands that I had left off as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, with Megadeth being up this high, I just think before Super Collider came out, which is their most recent album, a lot of people, again, I heard Rob Halford say this, they said the question was asked, Metallica or Megadeth? And he took a second and he's like, for consistency, Megadeth, which really resonated with me. Because like I said, I consider Metallica to have like 5 super essential albums and 7 if you, you know, aren't an asshole and you can enjoy Load for what it is and also Kill 'Em All. And to me, Megadeth, they wrote the greatest thrash album of all time, according to you and me, Rust in Peace, and a lot of other people, not just us. You know, Peace Sells, amazing.
Yeah, Peace Sells.
So far, so good, so what?
Yeah.
And then, you know, when Metallica did their Black Album thing, Megadeth sort of quietly had it, well, not quietly, it was popular. They had a Black Album little period, too, where they had Countdown to Extinction, which had a couple of their most famous songs. And then Cryptic Writings, which I think is really, really underrated. It's got like a secret place and, oh my God, what's that song called?
No idea. You know me, I'm no good with names of songs.
Oh, Trust. It's called Trust.
Oh.
Great song. So yeah, so like they took a break with Risk, right? And it was really not good at all. It was awful. But then like the system has failed. Awesome. United Abominations, great. Endgame, fucking awesome. Even like 13 was good too. So until Dave Mustaine went crazy, basically, they were regarded as more consistent than any other thrash band. That's why I have them where they are.
Yeah, that's a good explanation for why you have them so high, because I feel like they are a little higher than maybe where they should be, but that's a good explanation.
Yeah, I mean, that's just personal. Like, I feel like the seventh or eighth spot, that feels pretty okay.
And then I would have bet my entire life savings, earnings, my house, car on your top four. So I have no surprises there whatsoever.
In that order?
Yes, in that order.
Yeah.
Because I knew you don't like Slayer, but I knew you'd give them their due. But I know you don't. I know you weren't going to put Metallica behind them. And then I knew that you. I remember the Iron Maiden discussion, and I knew you were going to give Black Sabbath their due. So 1, 2, 3, 4, boom.
Okay, that wraps up our top 25s. I mean, obviously, I wanted to include Dio. Number 25 was really a toss up between Dimmu Borgir and then Emperor. I know you probably don't have much experience with Emperor, but they are very. They wrote maybe the best black metal album of all time. And when we finally get around to having, you know, black metal school between me and you, that's the album that I'm going to point you to listen to. And then the other one that I really wanted to include, but like I kind of had the whole AC/DC thing, was Kiss. Like, that's, I think I said it last time, like, how do you have AC/DC on this list without Kiss being there? I mean, is there anybody else that you really had, that you really wanted to include?
Yes. I really almost put, I couldn't leave out Pantera. I felt like a douchebag doing that. I felt kind of bad not having Morbid Angel in my list. I kind of felt bad not having Emperor in the list as well. Those are two bands that I struggled with when I was kind of nailing down the top, you know, 20 through 5. But those were two metal bands that I, you know, wish I knew a little bit more about. But I think that's ultimately the reason that I kept them out is I don't know enough about them.
That's basically why I didn't include Morbid Angel as well. And then sort of Cannibal Corpse too. Like those two bands are, you know, obviously those, they round out probably the, you know, the big four of death metal. And they're just, I didn't see any reason to include them when I already had, you know, Death and Carcass.
You know, another,
I mean, I guess Napalm Death probably should have been on the big four, but whatever.
You know, another band I almost wanted to put in there, but I felt that because of their lineup shifting that I decided not to, was Arch Enemy.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they've been around for a really long time, and they've pretty much everything they've done has been pretty damn good. But I kind of felt like they would be too new of a band, and their lineup shifting has kind of made them a little inconsistent. But that was another one I kind of thought that when I was making my list they would be there, and they just ended up not being there.
Yeah, it makes sense that you like At the Gates as much as you do, because like, for as big a fan of Arch Enemy as you are, like, those bands are pretty similar in what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I also thought about In Flames.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think
they
about
really
them.
They really aren't consistent anymore. But for a while, they were.
Yeah.
For about five albums there, they were really, really good. And, you know, I hopped on with, like, Soundtrack to Your Escape, which is an album that a lot of people didn't really like, but they came right back with Come Clarity, which is awesome.
Oh, right? Yeah. I like Come Clarity.
Yeah, Horacle, the Chester Race, What's the one with Cloud Connected? That album's awesome.
Reroute to Remain.
Reroute to Remain and Clayman, man. That's great stuff.
Yeah. That was a band that I didn't really think about. Yeah, that's absolutely, that probably could have been on there.
Yeah, they just missed it. And you know, like I had trouble not including Anthrax.
No, you didn't.
Basically, well, it was pretty much out of spite that I didn't include them. So
I knew it.
I'm man enough to admit. And like Merciful Fate, King Diamond, honestly, it's hard for me to judge exactly how much he did for music. I mean, really, I don't really like him all that much. I guess like the imagery is the biggest thing, you know, like the corpse paint thing that really went on to carry black metal into a completely different territory. Yeah, just didn't quite make it. Anyway, that was really fun. We're going to post all this up on Facebook. I hope that maybe there's some chatter to, you know, see what everybody else thinks about it. I'm sure you'll hate it. That's the nature of the beast, you know.
Golly.
You make a list, and that's what everyone's supposed to do, is just come and hate on it.
I'm going to get ripped apart for my Dream Theater thing.
You might. I mean, that's probably the big one. Yeah. Pantera at 25.
I'm standing by that shit.
All right. So next week we are going to be, well, I guess I shouldn't say next week. for all you listeners out there, we're basically expecting a baby any day now. So the next time we do an episode, we are going to do our year-end list, probably a top 15, talk about our favorite albums, maybe look at the – Michael and I are both Spotify utilizers. Holy shit. Michael and I are both Spotify utilizers, so we will maybe see what we listened to the most this year and compare it to how we felt about the, you know, which albums we considered the best. And another fun thing, we, you know, we're always talking about, I just never quite got around to listening to that band. Sorry, man, you know. Well, I'm going to let Michael tell me one band to go check out, and I'm going to tell him, you know, give him some homework. So if Michael doesn't have anything else to say, I think that's probably going to do it.
Nope.
All right. Well, if we don't make it back before Christmas, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, probably. I think we'll squeeze one more in before we squeeze a baby out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to wrap it up. We'll see you all next time.
Bye-bye.